ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தே சாந்தே சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம். உபநிஷத் சாப்டர் 5 மந்த்ரா 4.5.11 சாப்டர் 4 முனிகாண்டம். ச எதாத்ரைதாக்னேரப்யாஹிதஸ்ய ப்ருதக் தூமா விநிஷ்சரந்தி ஏவம் வா அரே அஸ்ய மகதோ பூதஸ்ய நிஷ்வசிதம் ஏதத் யத் ரிக்வேதோ யஜுர்வேத சாமவேத அதர்வாங்கிரச இதிஹாச புராணம் வித்யா உபநிஷத ஸ்லோகாஹ சூத்ராணி அனுவ்யாக்யானானி வியாக்யானானி இஷ்டம் ஹுதம் ஆஷிதம் பாயிதம் அயஞ்ச லோகஹ பரஸ்ச லோகஹ சர்வாணி ச பூதானி அஸ்யைவைதானி சர்வாணி நிஷ்வசிதானி. We were seeing the shloka. So the mantra is almost the same as in the previous Maitreyi Brahmana 2.4.10. That is repeated here with a slight variation. And the essence of the mantra is that Atma, that is Paramatma or Brahman, is Jagat Karana, especially Srishti Karanam. And two examples are given here. And one example is the fire giving out smoke. Just as naturally the fire is lit, the smoke emanates from the fire. Especially in those olden days, just as smoke naturally comes, similarly the smoky universe comes. Universe is like smoke only. And the second example is breathing. It is coming out of living being effortlessly. Similarly, Bhagavan has created the world effortlessly. For breathing, it is a natural process. A healthy person goes on breathing in and out. We are not even aware that we are breathing in and breathing out. Similarly, Paramatma creates the world effortlessly. The entire universe is divided into two parts from one angle. It can be divided in different ways, and one method of division is the following. It is called Shabda Prapancha and Artha Prapancha, the world of names and the world of forms. So Pada Prapancha and Pada Artha Prapancha. This is all the world is. So the Upanishads now, it wants to say that both Shabda Prapancha and Artha Prapancha have come from Brahman alone. But while talking about Srishti, the creation, in certain contexts, Artha Prapancha alone is mentioned, and in certain other contexts, Shabda Prapancha is mentioned. Prapancha means the world of sounds and the world of objects, Artha. Now, both of them are not simultaneously said generally, because Shabda and Artha are inseparable. If you say one, the other is included. Vagartha vivasampruktau, Vagartha pratipattaye, Jagata pitarovante Parvati Parameshwara. So the moment, for example, you created a pot, you also created the word pot. The moment you have got a child, immediately you give the child a name. Namakaranam is done. So parents create Nama, Nama Srishti, and Nami Srishti. Nami Srishti is a child, and Nama Srishti is the name of the child. So Vak and Artha are inseparable. And in the Maitreyi Brahmanam before, in the second chapter, Yajnavalkya mentioned only Shabda Prapancha Srishti. So at that time, that alone was reported. Therefore, the Upanishad said, from the Lord came Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Upanishads, and all that. So they are all Shabda Prapancha Srishti. And the Artha Prapancha Srishti was not stated earlier. And in this context, Yajnavalkya, he talks about Artha Prapancha also. So if you see the fourth line of this mantra, up to Vakyanani, it talks about Shabda Prapancha. Thereafterwards, Artha Prapancha is explained. So any material is assumed as an offering to the Lord. Sankalpita Dravyam, something kept as an offering in the context of sacrifice, a yaga, an yajna. So one, when a person, he takes a material and says, for example, Indra Yaswaha Am, Prajapata Yeswaha Am, then mentally he assumes that this material is earmarked for Indra, for Prajapati and all that. So earmarked material is called Ishtam. It is not offered so far. The very thought of keeping something to offer is called Ishtam. And the next word is Hutam. Hutam means that material offered into the fire. So before offering, it is called Ishtam. And the same thing when offered, it is called Hutam. So when you say Swaha, it is Ishtam. And when you say Agnaye Idam Namama, Indraya Idam Namama, Prajapataya Idam Namama, when you say that, it becomes offered, it becomes Hutam. So this is Ishtam and Hutam. And Ashitam is all materials which are eaten. Next is Ashitam. And Payitam is all materials which are liquid, which are drunk. So eaten materials and materials which are drunk. Ayancha Lohancha means this body and the present body. Next is Ayancha Lohancha. This body, the present body, and Parascha Lokascha. Parascha means the future body. Ayancha Lokascha refers to this body. In this context, Loka is body that we have already mentioned earlier. And Parascha Lokascha means the future body. So all in the case of whom? An Ajnani. They are called Sarvanicha Bhutani. In short, all beings are Shariras. One can take. So here body, Loka means body. So from Ishtam onwards up to Sarvani Bhutani Artha Prapanchaha Artha Prapancha Srishti in this shloka. So Ishtani Bhutani, Ishtam onwards up to Sarvani Bhutani Artha Prapancha is said here. And because all the Shabda Prapancha and Artha Prapancha are like breathing of the Lord. When the Lord breathes out, it is Srishti. If he breathes in 14 lokas, they all go into Mahapralaya. So for the Lord, 14 lokas comes in and they go out while breathing. So the word Nishvashitam in the shloka is a very significant word. And this we had seen earlier also in the 14th Brahmanam. It is often quoted mantra, this mantra. Nishvashitam example is very famous in the Shastras. Even in the Puranas, the Pauranikas mention this word. So for that, we can refer to the chapter 4 of this, the section 4 of the second chapter. There, Maitreya Brahmanam, for further details, we have already discussed this earlier. Mantra 12 and 13, we will read them together. Sayatham sarvasamapam samudra ekayanam evam sarveshasparshanam twagekayanam evam sarvesham gandhanam nasikaikayanam evam sarvesham rasanam jihvaikayanam evam sarvesham rupanam chakshurekayanam evam sarvesham shabdanam shrotramekayanam evam sarvesham sankalpanam manayekayanam evam sarvesham vidyanam hridayamekayanam evam sarvesham karmanam hastamekayanam evam sarvesham anandanam upastayekayanam evam sarvesham visarganam payurekayanam evam sarvesham adhvanam padavyekayanam evam sarvesham vedanam vagekayanam. And mantra 13, sayatham saindavaghanaham anantaro bahyaham krishno rasaghana evam evam va are ಅಯಮಾತ್ಮ ಆನಂತ ಅನಂತರೋ ಬಾಹ್ಯ ಅಬಾಹ್ಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾನಘನ ಏತೇಭ್ಯೋ ಭೂತೆಭ್ಯ ಸಮುತ್ಥಾಯ ತಾನೇವ ಅನುವಿನಯಶ್ಯತಿ ನ ಪ್ರೇತ್ಯ ಸಂಜ್ಞಾಸ್ತೀತಿ ಅರೇ ಬ್ರವೀಮೀತಿ ಹೋವಾಚ ಯಾಜ್ಞವಲ್ಕ್ಯ. So this mantra 12, mantra 12, we see that Atma is Laya Karanam. We spoke about Srishti Karanam earlier. This is Laya Karanam also. And everything resolves into Atma ultimately. For this, many examples are given. And the main example being Samudra, the ocean. Just all rivers finally merge into the ocean. Similarly, every creation resolves into Atma. And many other examples are also given here. And this mantra also happened to be the repetition of the mantra 2.4.11 of this Upanishad. So we will not go into the details here also. For this, please refer to the previous Maitreya Brahmanam lecture, which is already in our website. Then comes the 13th mantra, wherein Atma Swarupam is very clearly elaborated. This is a very important mantra, which Shankaracharya quotes very often. And in this mantra, the first portion is different from the previous Maitreya Brahmana. This has to be compared with mantra 2.4.12. For the sake of your ready reference, I'm giving this number. So in the 13th mantra, we find that it is not an exact repetition, but there are some slight variations. In fact, this mantra is presented in a better way, according to Swamiji. More often, this is quoted. Here, the Upanishad says that Atma is pure consciousness without any division. When we say division, we should understand it is Sajatiya, Vijatiya, Swagata, Veda, Rahitaha. We have seen this idea earlier. Atma is Sajatiya, Veda, Rahitaha. That means there are no plurality in Atma. There are only plurality of bodies and not Atma. This is very important because almost all other systems, they all say Atmas are many. Sankhya philosophy, Yoga philosophy, Nyaya philosophy, Vaisheshika philosophy, all of them, they declare Atma Bahutvam. Atmas are many. Even in Visishtadvaitam, Jivatmas are many and Paramatma is one. That's what they say. It is very clearly said that Atma is only one. Similarly, Atma Swagata Beta Rahitaha. Atma does not have internal divisions also, or portions like the head, the hand, and all of them. And this aspect also is a very important one, because initially we worship Paramatma with hands and limbs as Krishna, with Adaram Maduram, Nayanam Maduram, all that thing we say. But ultimately, we should remember this is only a stepping stone. And ultimately, Paramatma is neither Vishnu, nor Shiva, nor Krishna in a particular form. Very important. Because it is Swagatam Beda Rahitaha. It is without parts or portions. In Visishtadvaitam, it is said that both the world and the jivas are part of Paramatma. For that also, we give the same answer. We cannot accept Jivatma and the world as part of Paramatma because Paramatma does not have parts at all. Swagata Beda Rahitaha, that is very important. It is secondless. It is partless. And we also say Paramatma is Vijatiya Beda Shunyaham. There is nothing else other than Paramatma. This is the most important thing and very difficult idea to swallow also. This means there is nothing other than Atma. Very Anatma Prapancha is negated. The very universe is negated. Then what is the universe that I see? It is nothing but Atma Purastat, Atma Dakshinataha, Atma Uttarena, Idam Sarvam, Yedayam Atma. We have already seen that earlier, this shloka. And that is why the world is unreal. Or mithya, everywhere is only Atma, 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 nothing else. That is also based on the same idea alone. In fact, the entire Shastram can be derived from this one idea only. Shastra Saraha means it can be presented in one sentence. What is that? Atma Sajatiya Vijatiya Swagata Beda Shunyaha. And for conveying this idea, the most important mantra is this particular mantra. And in this mantra, an example is given. What is the example? It's a very simple example, even though the idea is a very big idea. Atma is like a lump of salt. What is a lump of salt? Anywhere you taste that salt, it is salty. There is a big rock salt, for example. You take a big rock salt and taste it at the top, it is salty. Taste it at the bottom, it is salty. Drill a hole all the way to the center and take some small portion and again taste it. In the middle also, the rock is absolutely salty. And you dissolve the salt into water, then the student sips, let us say the top portion of the water, it is salty. Middle portion is salty. Bottom portion is salty. So left side is salty, right side is salty, everywhere salty. And the teacher asks the question as to whether you can see the salt in the water. There is water without salt being mixed. The salt could not be seen. And then the teacher asked, can you physically separate the salt from the water? We have seen this example earlier. Normally, you cannot do that. So you cannot see the salt. You cannot separate the salt, but you can feel the salt. You can experience the salt because it is salty. Similarly, the universe is water. The salt is nothing but what? This existence principle, satta. We call it sat, satta. The existence cannot be seen with the sense organs. Existence cannot be physically separated. And at the same time, you experience the existence all the time. It is because there is a man, there is a woman, there is a pen, there is a sun, there is moon. Pure existence is Atma. So he says, a lump of salt is rasa ghana eva. It is homogeneous mass of saltish taste. So, anantaraha abahyaha, without anything inside, antaraha or bahyaha, externally. It is salt mayam everywhere. Now, Yajnavalkya says, Are Maitreyi, I am Atma Prajnana Ghanaha Eva. In the same way, Atma is a homogeneous mass of consciousness. It is not man consciousness or woman consciousness or any particular consciousness, but it is consciousness unqualified, unspecified, unparticularized. In Panchadashi of Vidyaranya, in the beginning itself, Vidyaranya begins with this concept only. When we have time, we can perhaps see that at some point in time. So when you perceive the world, you have sparsha jnanam, sparsha knowledge, rupa knowledge, and you keep perceiving the world and gradually remove the sparsha, shabda, rupa, rasa, gandha. Then shabda jnanam minus shabda, sparsha jnanam minus sparsha, rupa jnanam minus rupa, gandha jnanam minus gandha. And then he asks, Acharya asks, what is there? We will say there is nothing generally. It is not so. Shabda jnanam minus shabda is jnanam. Rupa jnanam minus rupa is jnanam. Gandha jnanam minus gandha is jnanam. Rasa jnanam minus rasa is jnanam. Jnanam is non-specific awareness. Here he says, non-specific is without inside or without outside, and it is a homogeneous mass of consciousness. So what are we to understand by this? Jnanam is non-specific awareness. It is without inside or without outside. We have to understand as sajatiya, vijatiya, swagata, beta, rahitam. This part alone is in addition to the mantra in section 4 of chapter 2, 2.4.12. Here it's in a better form, that's what Swamiji says. Then the next part of this mantra is same as before, so we will not go into the details now because it will be repetition. You can refer there. The idea conveyed is what? From this mass of consciousness, everything appears. and everything dissolves. This alone is Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, Karanam. Then we will read the next two mantras, 14 and 15 together. Saho vacha maitreyim atraiva ma bhagavan mohantam apipi pannam nava ahamimam vijanamiti saho vacha nava arem aham moham bravimi avinashiva arem ayamatma anuchitti dharma. Mantra 15. Yatra hi dvaitamiva bhavati taditara itaram pasyati taditara itaram jigrati taditara itaram rasayate taditara itaram abhivadati taditara itaram shrunoti taditara itaram manute taditara itaram sprushati taditara itaram vijanati yatra tvasya sarvatmaiva bhut tat khenakam pasyet tat khenakam jigret tat khenakam rasayet tat khenakam abhivadet tat khenakam shrunuyat tat khenakam manvitam tat khenakam sprushet tat khenakam vijaniyat yenedam sarvam vijanati tam khena vijaniyat sa yesha neti netyatma agrihyo ashiryo nahi shiryate asange nahi sajyate asito na satyate na rishyati vignataram arem khena vijaniyat ityukta anushasanasi maitreyi etavat hare khalo amrutatvamiti hotva yajnavalkyah vijaharam. The 14th mantra is almost a repetition of the 13th mantra of section 4 of the second chapter, except the last sentence. This is also often quoted sentence. Please refer to the previous Brahmanam for the first portion, as we said earlier. Now we will give only the meaning of the last line only here. Atma avinashi. Atma is without destruction. Consciousness does not perish. This is very important. As we are able to study the consciousness with the help of our pramana. What happens? Consciousness happens to be a mystery. All the scientists have yet not solved the problem of consciousness. Everybody wants to find out what exactly is consciousness. Is it a matter or is it a property of matter? Either it should be a matter or it's the property of matter. Either way, consciousness will be subject to destruction. If it is matter also, it is subject to destruction. If it is a property of matter also, then it is subject to destruction. Many scientists assume consciousness is a phenomenon occurring in the brain because of electrical changes or impulses. And according to them, brain functions because of these impulses. For example, fits, you know, fit is a kind of a disorder. Fits is due to electrical problem in the brain, the scientists say. It is brain where some phenomenon or action is producing consciousness. And once brain is dead, then the consciousness also is gone. This is the study of science. Whereas we say that consciousness can never be studied by the human beings. Human beings cannot study the consciousness because it is not an object of study. It is aprameyaha, sarva pramana agocharaha. And therefore, for the science, consciousness will ever be an eternal mystery. And why do we say consciousness cannot be studied? What is the logic? To study consciousness, it must become an object. Vedanta says it is never possible because consciousness is ever the subject. All these arguments we already know, but in this context, I'm going through them. So studying the consciousness is studying myself, the subject, which I can never do. Vedanta says, better take the help of Shastra. When we try to know about consciousness with the help of Shastram, Shastram says, Avinashiva Hare I am Atma. You understand, brain may perish, electrical impulses may stop, but consciousness never stops. So even in a dead body, dead brain, consciousness is there. then how come it is a dead brain? It is a contradiction, correct? How can it be? We say that in dead brain, there is consciousness, but there is no expression of consciousness. In a live brain also, there is consciousness and there is the expression of consciousness as well. The difference between the live brain and the dead brain is only in the expression of consciousness because of the chidabhasa, reflecting medium, upadhi. In fact, consciousness is there everywhere. We will have to arrive at this knowledge that I am the immortal consciousness. Are Maitreyi, I am Atma, Avinashi, Anuchitti, Dharma. Avinashi means imperishable. Anuchitti Dharma means Nasha Rahita Swarupaha, without any decay, any Nasha. In short, it means it is immortal. This is the significance of this mantra. Now, comparing this to the last mantra 15, this has to be compared to the 14th mantra of section 4 of chapter 2 of Maitreya Brahmana, the previous Maitreya Brahmana. It is repetition of that mantra only. But we will see this essence also. All transactions are where? Are in Dvaitam only. In duality only there are transactions. No transaction is possible in Advaitam. And even knowledge comes under a type of transaction only. It is called epistemological transaction, some word. And Yajnavalkya says that Atma, even the knowledge transaction is impossible. Because Atma can neither be subject of knowledge, nor can it be object of knowledge. Then what is self-knowledge? We call it self-knowledge. You say that self-knowledge is not possible. It is because self is neither the subject nor the object. And we say the negation of subject and object is the self-knowledge. What is self-knowledge? Is the negation of the subject and object. So pramatra, pramana, prameya, triputi nishiddha, evam atmajnanam. This is the idea conveyed here very elaborately, and it is repetition of the previous mantra. And in the last portion, there is one addition. We will see that alone. Ityuktam anushasanasi maitreyi. Yajnavalkya says, Maitreyi, you have been instructed by me. Hey, Maitreyi, thus you have been taught by me. Ukta anushasanaha. Then Yajnavalkya says, the teaching is complete. It is comprehensive. This knowledge itself is amritatvam sadhanam. Here, amritatva means amritatva sadhanam. Sadhanam we have to add. So Shankaracharya, he underlines this. Because Upanishad says this much knowledge alone is enough for moksha, and no karma is required, no separate effort is required, no separate sadhana is required, no separate meditation is required. Other than jnanam, nothing is required to gain moksha. And that is indicated in this mantra. Shankaracharya considers this a very important phrase, yetavad. In the last line, you can see yetavad. There is no doubt about it. After saying this, Yajnavalkya took to sannyasa. You should remember the context. Yajnavalkya wanted to divide the property between his two wives. And it is all, at that time, Maitreyi asked him about the self-knowledge. And Yajnavalkya, having answered her question, now he took to sannyasa. And what is the sannyasa called? It is called Vidvat Sannyasa. Vidvat Sannyasi is one who has taken to sannyasa after becoming a jnani. If a person takes to sannyasa for studying Vedanta, he is not called a Vidvat Sannyasi, he is called a Vividisha Sannyasi. If you take sannyasa after jnanam, it is called Vidvat Sannyasa. So one is for Shravanam, Shravana Mananartham, and another for Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam is Vidvat Sannyasi for jnana nishtha. For becoming a sannyasi, Sravana Mananam has to be done, is Vividisha. So with this, the Maitreyi Brahmanam is over. In fact, the teaching of Vedanta is also over with this. Hereafter, we are going to get more of karma and upasanas. So the last serious Vedantic section is this only. And before going to the next section, we will discuss a small portion from the Bhashyam, Shankaracharya's commentary. Shankaracharya writes another Bhashyam on Sannyasa here. We can call it Sannyasa Bhashyam number 2. Already he had talked about Sannyasa in the previous Maitreyi Brahmanam, but for the second time, he talks about Sannyasa in the second Maitreyi Brahmanam also. So we call it Sannyasa Brahmanam number 2. We will see the essence of the Bhashyam briefly here. And Shankaracharya chooses to write on Sannyasa in this section because Yajnavalkya takes to Sannyasa here only, and also for the reason that the role of Sannyasa is talked about in this Brahman. That is why Shankaracharya chooses to talk about Sannyasa once again. First, there is an objection from a person who does not accept Sannyasa. Who is that person? Naturally, a Purvapakshi. We call him Purvapakshi. This term is all familiar to us. Who is opposed to Sannyasa. He says, Veda does not prescribe Sannyasa. Purvapakshi says what? Veda does not prescribe Sannyasa. He talks about karma throughout the life. In support, Purvapakshi. So in support of this, he gives many direct and indirect quotations. In some of the direct quotations, Veda says that one should do karma until death. Agnihotram is called Jaramaryam, which means that it is performed until death. Agnihotram is to be done. If Sannyasa is, Veda says, if Sannyasa is taken, karma cannot be done. Then certain indirect quotations are also given, which gives like, you know, Yajna Patram Api Dahanti. That is, a ritual is done along with the ritual, the Yajna Patram, the vessel made of wood generally, that is also offered into the fire. A ritualist dies, and when he is cremated, his body should be cremated with the Yajna Patras or the Yajna vessels also. That means until death, he should do rituals, and therefore no Sannyasa for him. And the second quotation is that the dead body is made of basma, ashes. Body ends in ashes. If it is to end in ashes, then the body should be only cremated. Cremation of the body is prescribed only for a grahastha. And if a person becomes sannyasi, he is not cremated and his body cannot become ashes. Therefore, Purvapakshi gives all these arguments. Therefore, if sannyasa ashrama is accepted, body will not become ashes. If a person gives up his rituals, it is as good as killing Devendra, they say. His papam is as great as killing Devendra. To take to sannyasa, because sannyasa involves giving up of all the ritualistic fire. He becomes niragnihi. Therefore, the Purvapakshi concludes that sannyasa ashrama is not allowed in the shastras. Thereafterwards, Purvapakshi again says, of course, there are certain references to sannyasa in the Vedas. Few sannyasa references do occur in the Vedas, but the Purvapakshi says that they are meant only for people who cannot perform rituals because of their physical incapacity, like blindness. For example, the head, the legs and hands may not be in proper order. He may not be able to sit. So he may have other issues. So only handicapped people alone can take to sannyasa, but unfortunately, because they are unfit for karma anushtanam, such people can do. He gives another option also. Even in case of fit people who are physically fit, sannyasa is allowed in certain rare cases. What are those cases? People who do big karmas, yajnas like Vishwajit Yajna, Sarvameda Yajna. So these fit people, they have performed Vishwajit Yaga or Sarvameda Yaga, and in those two yajnas, one must give away all the possessions as Dakshina. In Kathopanishad, Vishwajit Yaga was performed by the father of Nachiketas. So all the money, gold, property, everything should be given. So when the person gives away everything as Dakshina, then he cannot do any karma because he has no resources. He's a pauper. Such paupers who can no more do any karma are also entitled to take to sannyasa. So handicapped people and paupers alone can take to sannyasa according to Purvapakshis. So the normal people should lead grahastha ashrama and live happily. This is the contention of a Purvapakshi. Now Shankaracharya replies to this objection also. Shankaracharya establishes sannyasa and he talks about twofold sannyasas. This we said before. One is called Vidvat sannyasa and another is called Vividisha sannyasa. First, we will see how Acharya establishes Vidvat sannyasa. What are his arguments in favor of this Vidvat sannyasa? Vidvat sannyasi is a person who has acquired jnanam during when? During grahastashrama. He takes to sannyasa purely for what? For nishta, jnana nishta or nididhyasanam purposes only. Shankaracharya gives two arguments in favor of Vidvat sannyasa. One argument is, Shastram says that jnanam alone is enough for moksha. So once Brahma jnanam is gained, jnanam by itself destroys all the karmas, karma palams and sansara, and he does not require any other assistance. No assistance needed from karma. Similarly, endless quotations are there that clearly show that jnanam gives moksha and it does not require the support of karma. Jnana deva kaivalyam. This has been emphasized in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad itself. Finally, in this mantra, 15th mantra, which we finished just now also, it emphasizes this point. Jnanam alone will give moksha. There is no need of karma, puja, japa, meditation, none of them, to gain moksha except jnanam. Since jnanam is enough for moksha, jnani need not continue any karma. Karma is synonymous with grahastashrama, which we have discussed earlier. So according to tradition, grahastashrama is exclusively meant for karma anushtanam. Because brahmacharya ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama, and sannyasa ashrama are all unfit for karma anushtanam, except for whatever minimum required. Brahmacharya has to do sannyavandanam, that kind of things. And grahastha ashrama is exclusively meant for karma, and that is why his wife is called Saha Dharmacharini, and not just Karmacharini. Dharmacharini, here dharma means karma. For all karmas, wife is required. One without wife is unfit for karma. Therefore, jnani finds karma to be redundant. And therefore, he finds grahastha ashrama is redundant. And therefore, his natural force of action is sannyasa. His natural course will be sannyasa only for a jnani. So the argument that Shankaracharya gives is, jnanam and karma are mutually exclusive or contradictory, because in jnanam, the saguna I, nirguna I, all that when I say, I hope we are all in sync. In jnanam, the saguna I has to be distanced or negated. The cause I, the mother I, the father I, the richer I, the poorer I, the manager I, all these relative I's, qualified I. Jnanam is consistent in disowning of this ahankara, of this vyavahara I. Whereas karma involves vyavahara, the transaction, and all vyavahara requires owning up of what? Saguna I. And I have to invoke the cause I, the mother I, husband I. Even if I refuse to invoke, the other people will not keep quiet. They will, other people's relation or status, the financial status, they are all based on my relative status in society. Even if I go to a function or somewhere, the chairs are arranged on the basis of the status of the person. Swami Dayananda used to say, when he used to conduct all these Acharya Sabhas, there was some Swamiji from some place, he wanted to ask in what chair he will sit. He wanted his own chair from the ashrama to be brought to the place where the Acharya Sabha was conducted. So either I should remind or they will remind me continuously about the status and all that. Therefore, all transactions involve invocation of social status, family status, financial status. Therefore, right from the dressing up onwards, I have to decide as to how I will look when I go to the function. I have to disown vyavahara I for jnanam. Therefore, jnanam and karma or contradictory. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, Jnani cannot own up Ahankara because he practices disowning Ahankara and therefore they will never go together. Natural course of action for Jnani is an ashrama in which Vyavahara is either nil or minimum. Even right from the dress, there are no evening dress, morning dress, casual dress for sannyasa. Sannyasa has no dress sense. And he does not have even the hair sense. He already completely tonsured. Therefore, Vyavahara are minimum. And that is why sannyasi also cannot be conscious of other people's status. That is why other people feel often comfortable in presence of a sannyasi, because in his presence, they also need not invoke their relative social status. Therefore, Shankaracharya concludes that jnanam and karma are contradictory, and he gives up karma and grahastha ashrama, which will mean he will take to sannyasa ashrama. These are the two arguments for vidvat sannyasa. Actually, Shankaracharya always asks everybody to become sannyasi. Now, the Purvapakshi gives a counter argument for this. He says that if jnanam and karma are diagonally opposite, and if a jnani gives up those karmas, then the entire karma kanda will become invalid. It will become apramanam. Because if a person becomes a sannyasi, he falsifies various statements of Vedas, particularly relating to the karmakanda discipline. The entire karmakanda is falsified if you accept sannyasa. Farvi Shankaracharya gives his reply. He says, why do you say the karmakanda is falsified? He asks the Purvapakshi, why you say karmakanda is falsified? We say karmakanda is irrelevant for Ajnani. At the same time, karmakanda is not falsified because it continues to be relevant to the Ajnanis, who are all the majority. Shankaracharya gives another powerful argument also. Even with karmakanda itself, so many kamya karmas are prescribed for other ashramis, like putra kameshti yajna, pashu kameshti yajna, vrishti kameshti. So they are all relevant for all people. Putra kameshti is meant for people only who do not have children. Vrishti kameshti is meant for the people praying for rain. But where is the need for those who get copious rains? For example, Chirapunji or even the Shringeri, the Chikmagalur district, they get the second largest rain in India. There is no need for this, you know, vrishti kameshti. No need for those yajnas at all. So even in the karmakanda, all vidhis are not relevant for all the people. And for all the time, the one who has got kama dosha, for him, kamya karmas are relevant. Shankaracharya says, in the same way, one who has got ajnana dosha, for him, karma kanda is relevant. If kama goes, kamya karma becomes relevant, irrelevant. If ajnana goes, kamya karma becomes irrelevant. So what is relevant and what is irrelevant is a subjective decision. Shastra does not interfere in that. What is the goal of life is purely a subjective decision. Veda does not want to interfere with that decision. Whatever Veda does is, if a person has kama dosha, he has got kama's desires, and when he has got the desires, for him, the only relevant thing is the fulfillment of his desire. If one has no children, and if you give him moksha, he will not accept it. He wants children. Veda understands that. And what Veda says is, what one wants is more important than others. For those people who have kama doshas, they are interested in dharmartha kama, and Veda prescribes rituals for their fulfillment. Not because Veda considers they are ultimate goals, but because they consider it as their ultimate goal. Similarly, when a person gains jnanam and he does not find any relevance in dharma artha kama, where is the need of telling him the needs of karma and all that? No need. He does not require them. Kama dosha people are prescribed kamya karmas. And Ajnani Dosha people are given Karma Kanda discipline. Veda does not tell what you should choose. It leaves it to the people to select what they want. And Shankaracharya says, Veda gives different karmas and all are not relevant for all people. For jnanis, Karma Kanda is irrelevant. That does not mean Karma Kanda is falsified. With this, Vidvat Sannyasa part is over. Now Shankaracharya establishes the Vividisha Sannyasa next. I have already told you the difference between the two. Vidvat Sannyasa is for Jnana Nishta for a Sannyasi after Jnana. And this was only for Nididhyasana only. Now Shankaracharya establishes Vividisha Sannyasa, and this is meant for one who is an Ajnani, who wants to gain Jnanam through Shravanam and Manam. So the very word Vividisha means desire to know. Jnani takes Vidvat Sannyasa. There are many arguments in favor of both. And Shankaracharya says, different types of sadhanas are prescribed for moksha. And all these sadhanas, they contribute to moksha in different manner. We had seen before that all the four ashramas, they contribute to moksha. But not all of them, but the way they contribute to moksha directly. Some of them directly contribute to moksha. Some others indirectly contribute to moksha. For example, karma's contribution to moksha is what? It's not direct. Karma produces chitta shuddhi. Chitta shuddhi for desire for karma, and desire for jnanam gives opportunity for shravanam. Shravanam paves the way for jnanam, and jnanam alone ultimately gives moksha. Therefore, all the sadhanas are gained in the tradition based on its closeness and its remoteness. The benefits are decided. Thus, we find karma takes one to moksha indirectly. And we use two technical terms to convey that. One is called Bahiranga Sadhana and another is called Antaranga Sadhana. These concepts are also familiar to us. We have seen many of these things in previous lectures. So Bahiranga Sadhana is that which is indirect and more away. And Antaranga Sadhana is more interior. Karma Yoga Sadhana is considered Bahiranga Sadhana and Jnana Yoga Sadhana is considered Antaranga Sadhana. And in this series, two sets of sadhanas are mentioned in Shastra, which are Yama and Niyama. They are two groups of sadhanas, which I have discussed before. So Yama consists of five sadhanas. Which are the five sadhanas? Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam, Brahmacharyam, and Aparigraha. Ahimsa means non-injury. Satyam is truthfulness. Asteya means not possessing somebody else's wealth, non-stealing and all that thing. And Brahmacharya is celibacy. And Aparigraha means non-possession of all the things and all. These are all various yama. And these five disciplines are called yama. Similarly, there are five niyamas, which are Saucham, Santoshaha, Tapas, Swadhyayaha, and Ishwara Pranidhanam. They are religious purity is saucham, santosha is contentment, tapas is vows and austerity and all that, swadhyaya, and it includes disciplines also. Swadhyaya means parayanam of scriptures without studying the meaning, just mere parayanam of scriptures is swadhyaya, and Ishwara Pranidhanam is ritualistic worship. So these are called yama and niyamas. And Shankaracharya analyzes Antaranga and Bahiranga nature of these two and tries to establish Vividisha Sannyasa. That is, a Sannyasa Ashrama is accepted for the sake of Jnanam also by an Ajnani. In the previous two places also, now after establishing the Vidvat Sannyasa, Acharya comes to Vividisha Sannyasa. That is, Sannyasa Ashrama accepted for the sake of Jnanam. So Jnani can take sannyasa, Ajnani also can take sannyasa. So when Jnani takes it, it is Vividvat Sannyasa. When Ajnani takes it, Vividisha Sannyasa. Vividisha means what? Wishing to know, as I told you earlier. Veditum Iccha. For this also many arguments are given But Shankaracharya gives two arguments predominantly. In the first arguments, we talked about two types of sadhanas, Yama and Niyama. And the Yama group of sadhanas consists of five sadhanas, as I told you, Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam, Brahmacharyam, and Aparigraha. And Niyama consists of five sadhanas, namely Shaucham, Santosham, Tapaswadhyaya, and Ishwara Pranidhanam, this religious purity and all that. And Acharya says, Grahastashrama is Niyama Pradhana. In Grahastashrama, Niyama gets importance and more relevant also. Yamas are not absent, but they are only secondary. So Niyamas are more important in Grahastashrama. Mukhya Yama cannot be practiced by Grahastham. Amukhya Yama alone can be practiced. So Niyama is more important for a Grahastha. Whereas in the case of a sannyasi, it is the other way around. Yamas are Mukhya, Niyama is secondary, Gauna. And sannyasa ashrama is yama or mukhya pradhana. For sannyasa, niyamas are secondary. It is yama pradhana ashrama. And we'll briefly explain that thing also. First, we will take up a grahastha. We will see how the fivefold niyamas are important and relevant to him. And the first niyama is saucham. Saucham or religious purity. Not physical hygiene here, but religious purity. For grahastha alone, religious purity becomes important because of two reasons. One is grahastha has got many relations and there will be constantly some birth, death and all that thing in the family, somewhere or the other. So following of shaucha is important for the grahastha. Secondly, shaucha, the religious purity is important to perform religious rites and rituals which require saucham. Else, the ritual will not be effective. All complicated rules he has to observe. Otherwise, his rituals will not be fully effective. Because shaucham is an important part, anga, of all rituals. Whereas in the case of sannyasi, there is no relationship. Birth, death, shaucham, they are not relevant for him, for sannyasa ashrama. Although he has very few rituals only to perform. So in his work on that, in Gaudapada Acharya, he has got another beautiful work called Agama Shastra. He has given a beautiful book on that. He says, Nistutir Nirnamaskaraha Nishwadhyakara Evacham Nishwadhakara Evacham Chala Chala Niketasyam Niketasyam Yetiryadrichu Kobhavet Bhavat. So for him, Shaucha is a limited thing only in the form of physical hygiene. Shaucham in the form of birth and death, etc., are not there for sannyasi. Therefore, the first niyama is more important for grahastha only, shaucham. And if you take the second one, santoshaha, contentment. A grahastha should have possessions to run a family because children are there, kamas are there, dakshina has to be given for rituals, all to be done. And once the scope for possession comes, there is scope for greed. And therefore, to check the greed, santosha has to be kept as a rule. Look at that. Should be kept as a rule. Should be happy with what you have. Possession is needed, but don't be possessed by the possessions, as Swamiji says. Don't be possessed by the possessions. Don't go beyond the limit in asking for unlimited possessions. The rule is not applicable for a sannyasi. Because only when there is the question of possession, there is the question of being satisfied with the possessions. Kaupina Yugalam Vasaham Kantam Shita Nivarini Padukedvem Chagriniyatem Kuriyat Nanyasyam Sangraha. So Kaupina Yugalam Sanyasi needs minimum dress. And then Kantam Shita Nivarini, enough to protect from the cold. He's hungry, he'll take bhiksha. And for that, you don't need a vessel. Join both the hands, that is a vessel. And separate the hand. Is disposed of the best possible disposable vessel. And there used to be a Karapatri Swami in Swamiji in Kashi. He used to be like that. He goes, takes bhiksha with his hands like this, whatever gets in that hand, and that's it. That's the food for him that day. Therefore, where is the question of rule of contentment when he has nothing? Yallabase nija karmopatam vittam tena vinodaya chittam, Acharya says. So all these are for those who have vittam, who have wealth, who have money. What is for a sannyasi? And therefore, santoshaha is more relevant for a grahastha. Then tapas. Tapas means austerities, discipline, moderation. In the case of a grahastha, sense pleasures are allowed. This is not so for the brahmachari or sannyasi. When their sense pleasures are allowed, there is possibility of indulgence or exceeding the limits. And therefore, tapas is prescribed to check that. There is possibility of excesses. Whereas for a sannyasi, tapas to avoid excess does not arise at all. For sannyasi, tapas only means ekagrata. Manaschaindriyanancha aikagriyam paramam tapaha. Mind and the indriyas, they should be all focused. So where overeating is possible, fasting has to be kept as a rule. Ekadashi is not there for a sannyasi. He may choose to take or may not take. It is not compulsory. Whereas for a grahastha, it is supposed to be compulsory. Therefore, shaucham, santosham, and then comes swadhyaya and Ishwara pranidhana. Tapas also is covered. So swadhyaya is the regular parayanam of Vedas, ashlokas, whatever it is, and Ishwara pranidhanam is regular puja. Both are in the form of karma. So swadhyaya comes under Brahma yajna, and Ishwara pranidhana comes under Deva yajna. So these being karmas, they are relevant for grahasthas only. Whereas for a sannyasi, all the karmas are to be renounced. Therefore, pancha mahayajnas are not relevant for the sannyasi. So in short, all the niyamas are primary for grahasthas, but secondary for the sannyasis. Now let us come to yama. So niyamas are over. The first yama is ahimsa, and in the case of non-injury. And in the case of a grahastha, absolute ahimsa is not possible. Because some of the religious rituals practiced in those days, they are Vedic rituals, yagas and all, they themselves involved animal sacrifice. And therefore, part of the karma is himsa. We are not going into the discussion of whether that is correct or not. Let us not go into that. Shrautam says that, Veda says it. That's all we are saying right now. Therefore, the scriptural rites themselves involve some amount of himsa, injury. And thereafterwards, maintenance of establishment like house, it involves certain himsas. Like what? You have to clean the house always. So there'll be always some pest will be there. There'll be bed bugs will be there. Mosquitoes will be there. There may be mouse, rats and all that, killing of them. Because there are children in the house. There is kitchen, cooking is done, hygiene is required. So these are called suna. Pancha suna grahasthasya pancha yajnena nashyati. All these five different papas, they come because even without your knowledge, they come. When the mosquito sits on you, without your knowledge, you hit it. It dies. So for a grahastha, these things, they come, and by performing pancha yajnas, that is an antidote for that. So fivefold himsas, certain inevitable himsas, we do routinely. So for compensating which alone, pancha mahayajnas are prescribed. So one has to do pancha mahayajnas to compensate for that. Running an establishment involves some himsa. Many transactions required for grahasthashrama involves cooperative endeavor, needs discipline. And all the people may not be disciplined also. You have to use samadhana bheda danda to run the family, to run a company, to run institution, organization. Often there is dharma sankada, situations come. One may be unfit for a job. And if you dismiss him, his life, his family, they are going to be affected. If not, the institution is going to be affected. So dharma sankadam again. So many transactions involve himsa. And hence, absolute ahimsa cannot be followed for grahasthas. For sannyasis, such transactions are not there. If sannyasi has establishment, he will also face dharma sankata situation. But according to sannyasa, as prescribed in the scriptures, no such transactions, no establishment, and therefore it is practicable for him. That is why even Chaturmasya Vratam is prescribed, where he avoids even walking to avoid killing of insects during walking. Therefore, Mukhya Ahimsa is possible in Sannyasa Ashrama and not in Grahastha Ashrama. In Grahastha Ashrama only, Gauna Ahimsa is possible in Grahastha Ashrama. Then the next quality in the series of Yama is Satyam, truthfulness, that we will see in the next class tomorrow. Yo Vedadau Swaraprakto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakriti Leenas Chaya Parasamaheshwara Krishna Narayana.